Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Bodison, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with part 4 of The Manifestation of the Spirit, as we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 10, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
I talked about it a few weeks ago, but you know, in this thing that swept around the world some years ago, it was referred to as the Toronto Blessing. And then it became the Brownsville blessing. And then it became the Pensacola blessing. And then it, you know, it just kind of migrates from place to place and impacted multitudes of churches all over the world. And the kind of behavior that was being attributed to the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned, that hysterical laughing, animal noises, barking, howling, snorting, you know, whatever else animals do. And people gather together, and this is the Holy Spirit, they'd say. Look what God's doing. Look at all these people barking. Praise the Lord. What? Man, come on, let's get some discernment. You know, this is not the Holy Spirit. So this is why we have to have people with the gift of discernment. It's necessary. And then he goes on. And he now comes to tongues, and to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. So the gift of tongues, controversial in Paul's day, still controversial today amongst many. There are some Christians who believe that unless you speak in tongues, you're not really a Christian. There are some Christians that think if you speak in tongues, you're not really a Christian. You're influenced by the devil, some would even say. And obviously, those are both wrong perspectives. Tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's a beautiful gift, according to Paul, in its proper place. The problem with the Corinthians is that they were abusing it. They were not exercising it correctly or wisely. But what is the gift of tongues? It's the supernatural ability to speak or pray in a language unknown to yourself. It's something that God gives. Now, the question arises, well, does everybody have the gift of tongues? And the answer to that question is no. Not every believer has the gift of tongues. God doesn't give everyone the same gifts. And Paul makes that clear later on in this 12th chapter when he asks a series of rhetorical questions. Obvious answer. Answer is no. Are all apostles? No. Do all have gifts of healing or miracles? No, no, no. Do all speak in tongues? Same answer. No. Not everybody speaks in tongues. But some people do. And it's a supernatural enabling from God to speak in a language that is unknown to yourself. Now, because it's a supernatural thing, because it comes from the Spirit of God, it's not something that you can be taught to do either. And I say that because there are groups of people who will teach you to speak in tongues. There are people who believe that they can teach you how to prophesy, and they can teach you how to heal. No, these are not things you're taught. These are things that you're given by God at the moment. You're not taught how to do it. It comes. So, you know, a school of prophecy where they say, well, come and we'll teach you how to prophesy. Don't bother to go because they can't teach you how to prophesy. A school of healing, they'll teach you to heal. Hold your hands just like this. Tilt them this way. When they start to get hot and sweaty, that's when the power's there. Get your hands on somebody. You know, this is the stuff people say. It's just not true. That's the nicest way I can put it. It's just not true. Because, see, these are the gifts of the Spirit. God gives them. They're His. And He just says, I'm going to do this through you. But it's not like you can learn to do it. God gives you a gift of tongues. It's just going to well up inside. It's just going to come out of you. You're going to have to hold yourself back from it happening. And you can do that. But if you just go with it, you know, the Lord will, He will give it. So it's this ability to speak in supernatural ability to speak or pray in a language unknown to yourself. And then along with it is the gift of the interpretation of tongues, which would be the supernatural ability to interpret a language unknown to yourself. So these are the manifestations of the Spirit that Paul mentions here. It's not exhaustive. As we pointed out, Romans chapter 12 has another entirely, well, not entirely different, but a different listing of gifts. And a few other places in Scripture refer to a few other gifts. But again, look what the apostle says in verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. It's all about God's will, and He will distribute these things among His people according to His will, for His purpose, in His time, as we simply make ourselves available to Him. Now, here's a question that we need to address. Why do we see so little of this activity in the church today? Well, there is confusion over this topic, and this confusion has led to either a quenching of the Spirit or a grieving of the Spirit. The Bible says that you can do either one of these things. You can quench the Spirit, which means you can, you know, it's like throwing water on a fire. Or you can grieve the Spirit. And in either case, you're going to limit the Spirit's activity. So what we have, in a general sense, is we have a group of people in the church that they quench the Spirit because they don't want to believe that there are supernatural manifestations for today. And they have been identified as, I've used the term before, as cessationist. A cessationist is a person who believes that the gifts ceased. They stopped operating, especially the real overtly supernatural ones. They stopped operating with the death of the last apostle. If you're a cessationist and somebody thinks they're speaking in tongues, you think, oh no, that's not the Lord. Oh no, there's no prophetic word today. If you're going to get a word from God, you got to read it right out of the pages of the Bible. And if it doesn't come from there, it can't be a word from God. And of course, you know, healing. I mean, they would occasionally allow for God to heal, you know, sovereignly, but they wouldn't ever expect that a person would have any kind of a ongoing ministry where God would work in a healing way through them. So the cessationist mentality, this quenches the Spirit. There's no faith. There's no expectation. There's no, not only no belief that God's going to do it, there's a belief that He's not going to do it. That just flat out, no, God doesn't do these things today. That quenches the Spirit. Now, the other end of the spectrum is those who grieve the Spirit. And those things that I was talking about earlier, the crazy behavioral kinds of things that go on among some charismatic groups, these things grieve the Spirit. So you don't really have a true working of the Spirit that's taking place. You have it's a false thing. So much of it is just the human spirit that's responsible for this. And I do think occasionally it could even be demonic. Demonic spirits will capitalize on these kinds of things. So these are the extremes that we find. And it's difficult sometimes to find those who just have a simple biblical balance. They're just, you know, taking the word at face value, and they're reading about the gifts, and they're saying, great, I need those. God, here I am. Do something with me. And the Lord does it. But they're kind of the exception. The two extremes are kind of the majority these days. So you've got that particular issue there. Confusion leading to quenching or grieving the Spirit. The second reason that I would say we don't see these gifts as frequently as we should among us is self-sufficiency. We just don't sense a need for it. We've got our theology down. We've refined our ability to preach, and we've fine-tuned our ministry activity, and, you know, we just do it. It's mechanical, and we could do it in our sleep. It's just, you know, this is just the way we do it. And that's a self-sufficiency. And when there is a self-sufficiency, of course, there's no dependence on the Lord. So self-sufficiency will obviously limit what God can do among us. And then in some cases, there is just a complacency. It's just complacency. It's just, I don't know, I just don't have the energy to seek the gifts, or, you know, it's too much work. You know, sometimes I'll even talk to pastors, and when you talk to them about the gifts of the Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit, and you might ask, you know, what's happening in your church, and they say, well, you know, we don't really go in for that. You know, it's just, it's so messy, they'll say. Man, there's too much work involved. You gotta correct people. You gotta try to maintain control. You gotta do things like that. Yeah, you do have to do that. So with some people, there's just a complacency. There's not any real desire to see anything beyond just, you know, kind of the routine. Hey, we got a good routine going. We come to church. We get there. We sit down. We do it. Listen to the Bible study. We get up. You know, we leave. And that's fine. There's a complacency. There's no real deep desire for something beyond. And then, finally, unbelief. Sometimes it just comes down to that. We just simply do not believe that God wants to work in these ways. We don't believe that he wants to work in these ways, so we don't expect him to, so we're not really seeking him to do it. And it just comes down to unbelief. Do I really believe that when I'm praying for this person and I'm asking for healing or whatever, do I really believe that God's going to do something? I better believe it. I'm telling you, when you come and ask me to pray for you, I'm believing what I'm praying for. If I'm not believing it, it's a waste of your time and mine. We got to believe. And unbelief, probably more than anything, will prevent the work of the Lord. I would even say this. I would even say people who are a little bit on the kind of crazy side of some of this sometimes will experience more of a work of the Spirit simply because they believe it's going to happen. They just believe it. They believe other kooky things, but they believe that. Years ago, I had a friend who had a severe, severe case of arthritis. He was a young guy. He was in his 20s. I was in my 20s back then. And this was a debilitating form of arthritis. He was basically becoming a cripple in his 20s. And he had this guy that he worked with who was kind of a sort of an over-the-top Pentecostal guy. And he would say to my friend, he would say, brother, have you received your healing yet? And my friend would just go, oh, give me a break, you know. Hey, look, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I asked the Lord to heal me. And so, you know, this guy kind of annoyed him. But he would do that all the time. Brother, have you received your healing? You know, he wanted to just say, shut up. No. So one day he goes into work and this guy walks by and he puts his hand on his shoulder and he says, brother, receive your healing. he was healed that instant. He was healed completely. Arthritis completely gone. Totally a normal life. And he told me that story. And I could see it because I knew what he looked like previously. And he said, Brian, this guy, is this guy that drives me crazy. This over-the-top Pentecostal guy. He just laid his hand on me and just walking by, receive your healing. And you know, that guy believed it. And I think sometimes the mistake that we who tend to be more conservative are, is we go to the other extreme. Yeah, we're not into the faith doctrine, the name it and claim it. You know, just believe it enough and you can get anything you want. No, that's a distortion. It's not right. But what we do is we kind of have this reaction where we go completely over to the other side where we're just like, we're not looking for anything to happen. We're not believing that God's going to do anything. And we've got to believe. Because faith is a huge component in all of these things. All of these things that we're talking about, you know what happens with these? The Spirit moves us in a direction, but there's a moment where you have to exercise faith. You have to exercise faith. You have to speak up. Because if you don't, that prophetic word won't come. God's not going to force it out of your mouth. There's a moment where you have to exercise faith with these things. And so unbelief would be perhaps in many ways the main contributor to a lack of this activity amongst us. So, you know, isn't it interesting that I think most of us would probably have had an experience somewhat like this. When you're a brand new Christian and you read your Bible, what do you tend to do? You kind of just tend to take it all just as it's stated there. You know, you just, wow, Jesus, he did this? Well, let's try it. Let's do this too. And you know, there's just a childlike faith and just an approach like that. And, you know, as time goes on and you get a little more established and a little more mature, and then you have somebody tell you, well, you know, the proper doctrinal view of that is actually this. And, you know, sometimes you can actually seem to be growing, but you're growing in unbelief. And there is a place where sometimes we got to just get back to that childlike simplicity. You know what? Let's just pray. I know that this is an impossible situation, but let's pray and ask God to do something. Let's believe he's going to do it. You know, that's when results take place. People who do that. But some would say, oh, no, you can't pray about that. That's crazy. No, nothing's going to happen with that. Why? Why would we think that? That's unbelief. So we want to move away from that and move into faith. So in closing, a few more things. What can we do? What can we do to see this type of a work of the Spirit more active in our lives? Well, number one, be clear on the necessity of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have to be clear on the fact that we need these gifts. We need these gifts of the Spirit. They're not really optional if we expect to flourish as individual Christians and as God's people collectively. We can't afford to take the position that this kind of thing doesn't happen today, because remember, that will then produce a deficiency. We don't want a deficiency. We want to be fully empowered by God in these days. So be clear on the necessity of the gifts of the Spirit. Second, seek to become dependent on the Holy Spirit. We need to seek to become dependent on the Holy Spirit. We need to continue to put ourselves in places where we're trusting the Lord. You know what the Lord does to help us grow? He puts us in situations where we have to trust him. Have you ever noticed that? You know, we don't usually do that willingly. We usually resist that. But God has his ways of just, you know, shutting us up to himself. But we need to, you know, be active. And you know, seek to be dependent on the Spirit. Just really casting ourselves upon Him. Finding ourselves in things where we just say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this without you. Lord, okay, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to take this step. You see, that kind of dependency, God honors that. God delights in that. Third, we need to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible gives us different pictures of how that happens. On just a regular basis, our communion with the Lord, our time in His Word, our time in fellowship with Him in prayer, that has a way of filling us with the Spirit. But it's also possible to be filled with the Spirit through prayer. We see many examples in Scripture where hands were laid upon people by the elders. Gifts were imparted through the laying on of hands. And so we can ask for prayer. We can ask to be filled. We can expect it as we spend time in communion with the Lord. We can ask for prayer, hands laid on us to be filled with the Spirit. And then fourthly and finally, desire and ask for the gifts to work through you. You know, there's nothing the matter at all with asking God for these gifts. You should. Paul says it in the 14th chapter. He says, desire earnestly the best gifts. And so it's a good thing to desire these. And as we have looked at them and as you're thinking about them, you know, there's nothing the matter. And it's absolutely right to say, Lord, you know, I would love to have that gift of prophecy. Lord, I would love to have that gift of healing work through me. Lord, I would love to have that word of knowledge. Lord, you know, it's this thing of, you know, God gives to people who want what He's offering. He gives to those who are seeking Him with expectation to receive from Him. And so again, we don't want to approach this complacently. We want to approach it passionately. Lord, I want these. Lord, we want these. Lord, we want this kind of activity happening in our midst. And let me just say one final thing. The context of all this, as we move on further, it's a double context of the local congregational gathering. These activities are taking place there. But they're also taking place in the broader body of Christ. So we can expect these things to happen when we gather, like we're doing now, or in other contexts, you know, smaller group meetings or whatever. We can expect and anticipate those things to happen then. But we can also expect and anticipate them to happen as we just are amongst the body in our daily lives. We don't have to be gathered together at the church to expect this kind of activity to be happening. It will happen here. It should happen here. But it will happen with us as we go about our lives, as we go about serving the Lord. And of course, Paul's purpose here is to show it, you know, the relation of these things predominantly in regard to the body of Christ. But there's an application of these beyond that as well, because these will often operate in a way to confirm the gospel to people. You know, God will sometimes use us in evangelistic types of ways, combining these gifts with our testimony or the gospel that we're sharing with somebody, and through the supernatural thing, confirming the word, bring people to faith in Jesus. That's what was happening in New Testament time, and we can see that happen in our day as well.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Manifestation of the Spirit, Part 2. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0213. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBurdison and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBurdison. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628. And please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.